From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Friday, January 9th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. Hundreds of people gathered at First Ward Park in Uptown Charlotte Thursday evening to protest the killing Wednesday of a U.S. citizen by federal immigration agents in Minneapolis. Julian Berger has more.
Justice for Renee Nicole Good!
Justice for Renee Nicole Good!
Protesters held signs reading ICE out for good and end the war on immigrants. They said the shooting of Renee Nicole Good epitomizes broader concerns about the use of force by federal immigration authorities. Federal officials say an ICE agent acted in self-defense, a claim protesters here disputed. Here's Asha Patel of PSL Charlotte, who helped organize the protest.
We are seeing through this that this current administration and ICE will unleash violence on anyone who takes a stand against this deportation machine and this crackdown.
Protesters say the incident has heightened fear and anger in immigrant communities across the country, including in Charlotte. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools Board and the County Board of Commissioners are preparing for another tight budget cycle. James Farrell has more from this week's joint meeting between the two boards.
CMS is juggling declining enrollment this year that could yield lower state funding and questions about future federal funding. That leaves the county share of the funding pie. But the county is staring at a potential budget gap this year of up to $36 million. CMS Chief Finance Officer Kelly Klutz said the district will avoid unnecessary costs in its request to the county.
The answer is not to pile more on the county or the taxpayer. It's to do what strong organizations do during these times. They evaluate, they reallocate, and they recycle.
The district won't make its formal request for county funding until May, but CMS Superintendent Crystal Hill signaled that she's poised to ask the county for a 5% increase to the teacher salary supplement. James Farrell, WFAE News.
The North Carolina Department of Transportation says blasting operations will shut down part of I-485 on Friday afternoon from 2 to 2:30. NCDOT officials said crews will perform blasting work near the interstate and NC-49. North Carolina State Highway Patrol troopers will have a rolling roadblock on I-485 inner and outer loops between Rocky River Road at exit 36 to exit 33 for about 10 minutes until the area is clear for drivers. The family of a man shot by an off-duty Pineville police officer in 2024 has filed a $10 million lawsuit against the town and the two officers involved in the shooting. 46-year-old Dennis Bodden was unarmed when Sergeant Adam Daniel Roberts approached him in the parking lot of a South Charlotte Food Lion after a report of shoplifting. Body camera footage shows Roberts following Bodden on foot across a busy road and into an apartment complex parking lot where the officer fatally shot him. He said Bodden reached for his gun. Mecklenburg County District Attorney Spencer Merriweather declined to file charges against the officer, but described the shooting as jarring. The lawsuit accuses Roberts and another officer on the scene of violating their department's use of force policy and Bodden's constitutional rights. A South Carolina judge has denied the NFL's request to dismiss a brain injury lawsuit filed by the family of former player Philip Adams. According to the Rock Hill Herald, Judge Charles McCutcheon ruled the case can now move forward in Orangeburg County. In 2021, Adams killed six people before killing himself in York County. The Adams family claims in the lawsuit that Philip suffered from CTE from his time playing pro football. A trial date has not been set. This week's unseasonably warm weather is a reminder that free energy abounds in the form of the sun's rays. Zachary Turner has more about a new program aimed at giving Charlotte's low-income residents access to that energy free of cost.
Solarize Charlotte offers grants to low-income households to install rooftop solar systems. The city partnered with two nonprofits and Solar Crowdsource, a company that organizes campaigns to lower the cost of clean energy. Rooftop solar can reduce monthly electricity cost by at least half, according to the program's organizers. Only applicants who make 80% or less than the area median income are eligible, though the limit varies depending on household size. For example, the limit is roughly $89,000 for a family of four. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
Charlotte Douglas International Airport will soon add another lounge for travelers. The 14,000-square-foot Capital One Lounge will open in Concourse A near gates 21 through 29. It'll feature airfield views, locally inspired food, and a dedicated workspace. The construction schedule and opening date will be announced later. And Charlotte's PNC Music Pavilion has been renamed the Treliant Amphitheater. The University City venue will start its concert season in April. Here's something we don't get to say all that often in Charlotte after the NFL regular season ends. The Panthers are still alive. For the first time since 2017, the Panthers made the playoffs. They'll play the LA Rams at Bank of America Stadium tomorrow. Marshall Terry spoke with WCNC Sports Director Nick Carboni about this weekend's game.
I think complicated is the right way to describe how the Panthers landed a playoff spot with a losing record, right? Break it down as simply as you can.
I'll start with the losing record. The Panthers are the fifth team in NFL history to make the playoffs with a losing record. They are 8-9. So the NFL structure is you have two conferences. Within each conference, you have four divisions. The Panthers play in the NFC South with three other teams, the Saints, the Falcons, and the Bucks. And at the end of the season, there was a three-way tie for first place with Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Atlanta all finishing the regular season with an overall 8-9 record. And the first tiebreaker is the team with the best record among all the tied teams. So Carolina was 3-1 against Atlanta and Tampa Bay in the regular season, so they got in. It was a scenario we saw coming 3 weeks in advance, but it required Atlanta, who didn't make the playoffs, to win three straight weeks, including beating the LA Rams. And I don't think anybody could have predicted that it actually would have come to fruition, but it did.
Are you surprised they made the playoffs after this yo-yo year? I mean, this is only the second season for head coach Dave Canales, who was untested, and they've been pretty awful for a while.
I'm not surprised. I think those of us who are around the team a lot saw the growth and progression in year one under head coach Dave Canales. And then you juxtapose that with the division, which, as I mentioned, three teams that were tied for first all had losing records. So the division is not an unwinnable division. All it takes is for one of those other teams besides Tampa Bay, who's won it the last four straight years, to improve a little bit, and you'd be right there in the running. So I thought Carolina was talented enough to finish second. And if you're talented enough to finish second in the NFC South right now, well, you probably have a chance. Surprised that the path it took, I mean, they lost games they shouldn't have lost, and they won games they had no business winning, including against this Rams team, who is, again, the heavy favorite here in the wild card round tomorrow.
Yeah, they are objectively a much better team with a 12-5 record. As you mentioned, the Panthers shocked everyone by beating them in the regular season. What do they have to do that again tomorrow?
Yeah, they have to take the ball away from quarterback Matthew Stafford, which is an exceptionally hard thing to do. Matthew Stafford entered that Week 13 matchup at Bank of America Stadium with just two interceptions. Carolina intercepted him twice in the first half and brought one of them back for a touchdown, and then they forced a fumble on Matthew Stafford, who is probably going to be the NFL MVP this year, and that fumble recovery sealed the deal for Carolina. So they've got to be really good on defense, take the ball away, take care of the ball on offense, and Bryce Young has to be, I won't say extraordinary, but he's got to take care of the football, and he's got to be efficient, and that's exactly what he was in the last matchup. He threw two fourth down touchdown passes, which is incredibly rare on any Sunday in the NFL.
All right, so what's your prediction? How far are the Panthers going to go?
I want to be realistic. This is a cathartic moment for the Carolina Panthers franchise, the fan base, and the city to be back in the playoffs for the first time in 8 years, back hosting a home playoff game for the first time in 10 years, having Cam Newton be a part of things tomorrow. They're not just happy to be there. It's a serious business-like team. They're going to go out there and try to win. I just don't think they're there yet talent-wise. I think this is a really big step for them, and this will provide them a great experience going forward. So I do think the Rams will win, but you never know with this Panthers team, as we saw against these very Rams.
All right, not the answer I think a lot of people wanted, but we appreciate you being as realistic as you can. Thanks so much, Nick.
Yeah, I think everybody's just going to have a great time Saturday, and at this point, that's what it's all about. Thanks for having me.
WCNC Sports Director Nick Carboni.
And for Friday, January 9th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.